Sports Station. Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing. No, you ain't. He ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interviews.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I'm getting no interview. I know. I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. 'Cause I make you ugly as soon as it drops. We're on a rampage, bubbles popping up before you know it. There's rubble and dust, 'cause we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say you
morning, everybody. Happy Friday. Let's see. Today on the radio show, it's always a busy day on Friday. We got Jason Smith in the next segment. We got Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. We finally have the Lakers have a new coach. We'll talk to Chris about that. But we also had a deal in the NBA. Yes. Did this, Jeffrey, did the deal break during your show?
It did not. It broke basically right after the show, the Caruso
right
deal.
Right after the, yep. Yeah. It irritates me. Like, I think it's Oklahoma City getting better. That's what I think. I think it irritates me. It the same thing's, by the way, starting both in hockey and in the NBA, you're starting to see movement, right? And it makes me antsy for what the Grizzlies are about to do, right? Like, the I don't think there's any question that, at least in the immediate future, it made Oklahoma City better. We'll see what Giddey does ultimately, yeah, in Chicago. But when you can roll out Lu Dort, Jalen Williams, now Alex Caruso, you got Holmgren back there blocking shots. Cason Wallace, like, yeah, they got a. It looks almost Celtics-ish, you know, in terms of what they've slightly constructing out there. So anyway, that's happened. We'll talk to Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock about the NBA. Again, Jason Smith in the next segment. But right here off the top, we got Partha Padhyay from the Daily Memphian. And I asked Parth to come in because I need him to explain himself. Yesterday I was emerging from yoga. So I was in a calm place, zen. And I look at what's up the Daily Memphian, and there's Joe Cooper. And I remember Joe Cooper as one of the feel-good stories of this college basketball season. For the Memphis Tigers, not a lot of them, but here's a guy, stepfather is a former Tiger, played with Penny, who Joe Cooper walks on at the University of Memphis, and in a season when everything's falling apart, he finally gets his shot, plays well. You know what? Because Memphis was in his blood, man. Because Memphis was in his blood. He fought like a Tiger. Maybe not the most gifted guy in the world. And so in the midst of all of the gloom and doom of last year, at least I had one sweet little tale that I could hold on to. Not Malcolm Dandridge, who's been, you know, off the team in the toward the end of the season. Certainly not Javon Quinterly and all that mess. Like, David Jones was great. Now all of a sudden he's gone without an explanation, no comment. Like, I'm trying to focus on the positive. Because that's, Jeffrey, where I walk, right? Isn't that? Remind me. That's exactly right. This is me. I opt for sunshine. So anyway, so I click on the Daily Memphian, and there's a story by Parth. Joe Cooper saying that playing for his beloved Memphis Tigers was the worst experience that he'd ever experienced.
Excuse me?
Holy, what in the world? And so I thought I'd get Parth in here to explain what happened. Now, if I read the interwebs, Parth, welcome to the show, by the way. Good morning.
Good morning.
If I read the interwebs correctly, the accusation is that you sought out Joe, planted a negative story in his brain, and then rushed it into print because you want to tear down the program. So is that correct?
Sorry to disappoint the haters, but that is not what happened. That is absolutely incorrect.
How did it come to pass? So Joe Cooper, we find out he's not going to be on the team. Was that earlier this week? When did we get the news that he wasn't going to be on the team?
Right, so the commercial appeal breaks the news that he's not going to be on the team. Tuesday, I get it confirmed from a program spokesperson.
Yeah.
And just like with anybody else that's left the team, whether it be Jonathan,
you reach out.
You know, Jonathan Pierre or Carl Scherenfant or Jalen Young, whoever, you reach out to him or dad or mom or coach or whoever, right? So I texted Joe, said, hey, man, sucks he won't be back. Best of luck with whatever's next. Do you mind if I ask what's next, right?
Right.
He sends me this text, and I had a similar reaction as to what you may have had when you saw the Daily Memphian headline.
Well, the quotes were in text? Or no, he sends you a text.
No, he sends me a text kind of summarizing, detailing whatever you want to say, what happened or what he felt or what he had experienced. And I'm like, you know, my gosh, you know? Same reaction as you just had. Like, Joe Cooper was one of the... you know, good, bad, or ugly, one of the top 15 storylines, I'd say, from last season, right?
Right. So you talked to him on the phone? Did you talk to him on the phone?
So then I said, hey, would you want to talk about this? He was open to talking about it, obviously. And we had a pretty lengthy discussion on the phone, and it kind of went from there.
I'm just curious, because we've had lots of players leave the program, and some who you imagine wouldn't necessarily be the happiest, or they left, whatever else, for reasons of... and honestly, assistant coaches, too, have come and gone over the whatever else. And no one has really talked much about their experience at Memphis at all. But if so, it's... You know, Tyler Harris did. Like, Tyler Harris talked about it and whatever, but most don't.
But nothing like this, right?
Well,
even
no one has been critical.
Uh-huh.
No one has been critical. And so it's a little shocking, particularly, you know, he's a walk-on, whatever else. The program, that's Penny Hardaway, you know, legend that he is really implicating of here.
Right.
So I'm curious, in his tone, do you think he was it an angry tone? Was it an upset tone? Was it a matter-of-fact tone? As you spoke to him, how did you perceive it?
It was certainly emotional. I wouldn't call it angry or vengeful or whatever you want to use there, right? It was more so disappointed and a little bit sad, right? Like, kind of, he used the word heartbroken, and you could a little bit hear it in his voice that, hey, he was at least hoping to hear something, according to his story. Obviously, he told me he had not heard via text or call from Penny during the offseason, and he said that even if he wasn't, you know, welcome back on a scholarship or whatever it may be, like, he just wanted to hear that early on.
So one of the responses, and I understand this one completely, is, listen, the guy's a walk-on.
Right.
And he's a walk-on who wasn't given a scholarship to come back. And so he's bitter. Like, he wanted to come back. He wanted a scholarship and whatever else. And that is, I can understand why he would be disappointed by that. But it's also, that's nobody's fault. That's actually a good sign for the program that you're not having to elevate a walk-in and give them a scholarship.
100%.
Like, that's good news,
yes.
Right? So let's acknowledge it. Was his...
I mean, there are 13, though, right? Like, you've seen programs elevate guys
who have earned it, or good for character, good for
team morale all the time.
I'm not here sitting saying that Joe Cooper was the missing link or anything.
No,
100%. Right, let's be honest.
No.
Having said that, so did you get, like, I do think it's true that Penny owed him an answer if he was waiting for an answer. Is that the chief frustration he had? Like, when he says, the quote was, like, worst experience I've ever had. Well, first of all, because one of the things that was interesting was, he also talked about, before any of this, the season itself. And... I think he might have used the word toxic or things.
Yep.
What did you gather there that he was talking about? like the atmosphere around the pro? What was he? What in the world was that all about? Do you think?
Yeah, I think when he said those things about not hearing back from Penny and there being a you know, communication void or whatever you want to call it, I asked him like, hey, you know, during the season, because he said on record multiple times, it's in our stories, it's in other stories, whatever, yeah, that, you know, dream come true, and I feel right, like a kid living out this dream and passion, right, yeah, or whatever. So I asked him like, hey, was it like, did something happen? What, right, where did it all go wrong? What changed? And then he kind of went back and said, hey, you know, it may have appeared as if I was living this dream and I said these things to the media because they were the right things to say, but in the moment I really was not happy, is what he said to me. And then I asked him obviously why he wasn't happy and what all was going on. Some of the stuff, you know, Penny said openly, like the egos and the locker room stuff and chemistry issues and whatever. So we knew all that.
Like, I guess I'm trying to sort out, uh-huh, how much of this is just gripes over the way he was treated because he didn't get recognized or because he couldn't travel with the team or whatever it was, and how much is his observations of a program in disarray, you know, or in turmoil that wasn't fun to be around. Because if you're a Memphis fan, you're really more concerned about the second state of the category,
correct,
rather than whether Joe Cooper had his feelings hurt.
Correct. I mean, I would definitely say, like, just from speaking to him, and I'm sure you can gather from reading the story, that it leans toward his treatment, right? It leans toward how he felt and him feeling ostracized and alienated is the word he used with me in my conversation with him, and that kind of thing. And I think he, you know, saw that and then looked around at the bigger picture and was like, hey, this is a, you know, in his words, once again, a state of disarray, right?
So did Penny owe him a call? What do you think Penny owes a walk on?
That's tough.
And did he ask for an answer? Like, or does he, you walked on last year. If you want to come back, you can come back. But I'm not, like, I got scholarship players I'm dealing with here. Do I really need, right, to call you and say, you're not welcome back? Or does he owe him a call to say, hey, Joe, end of season meeting, thanks very much. If you want to come back and walk on again, you can walk on again. But if we're not going to have a scholarship for you, I appreciate your service.
Yeah, look.
That seems like the way to handle it. Just, you have an end of the season meeting with everybody, whether it's a walk on or not.
100%.
That would seem, and that didn't happen for him.
No, according to Joe, that didn't happen. And look, I don't think any reasonable-minded person saying Penny should have dropped recruiting P.J. Haggerty and Tyrese Hunter, right, and Dane Danger, and all of a, right, sudden, you know, driven to Joe Cooper's living room. Like, nobody's saying that, right? But I think, you know, a text back, a call back, if indeed Joe is telling the truth, which I have no...
Joe texted him. Joe would text Penny or ask for an answer?
Yeah. He said he texted him early in the offseason, tried to call him. He said his dad, actually, Rodney Newsome, had been in communication. Obviously, they were teammates back in, I think, 92, 93 with Memphis for one season there. Rodney had been in communication with Penny. And according to Joe, when that topic would come up, it just would never get circled back to, right?
Right.
Penny donated some equipment and some basketballs to Rodney's AAU program recently.
Oh, that's good. That's nice.
But even then, it was...
you get the sense, honestly, one of the interesting, yeah, things here is you get the sense that, and I'm guilty of it myself, I avoid hard conversations. I don't like hard conversations, right? That's not my strength. And, you know, one of the complaints with Penny, or the criticisms of Penny in the way he manages his roster generally, is he won't tell people, put him in roles and say, you're not playing. No, you're not playing point guard. You're not a point guard. You know, whether it's Imani Bates or, like, whatever. He doesn't like giving people the bad news. He parcels out minutes to keep everybody happy, whatever else. And maybe that's it. Maybe he's just emotionally avoidant. I don't want to tell Joe Cooper that I'll let him figure it out for himself. He doesn't hear from me for 2 months. He should probably figure out he's not part of the program going forward. He ghosted him.
Essentially, right?
Like, he ghosts people.
And some of that, let's be real, like, the deadline for the portal was May 1st. It's June 21st, right? And this news came out officially,
right? So it could be,
Tuesday,
it's
so
a couple
days ago.
On Joe Cooper for not connecting dots here.
When it's late, I mean, if I'm Joe Cooper, right, and I'm not blaming him per se, but if it's late April and I haven't heard from Penny, I'm entering the portal, or I'm taking those calls from ex-school with scholarship offers or whatever it may have been.
I'm curious, from a perspective of doing your job, you obviously didn't expect him to say to go off on Penny. That's not what
not
the program.
At all.
That's what not what you expected. How do you decide when he does go off on Penny and the program? And he was a story this year, but in the end, he's a walk-on. He's a disaffected walk-on.
Yep.
How do you decide whether that story is worth publishing or not? In other words, is there a part of you that thinks, wrestled with, listen, if it was David Jones blasting Penny.
Exactly.
That, yep. There's no question. We would you'd have to print that. If it's a walk-on who doesn't get a scholarship, do you just bury it and say, yeah, it's not news?
Yeah, it was tough. And I know you and I had these conversations, and so did my editor. You know, David Boyd and I had the same conversations. But at the end of the day, I think it goes back to he was a story, right? Like, from the time he committed, there was...
Yeah, he wasn't a walk-on who nobody knew his name.
No, just came not at all. From the time of August 2023 when he committed, like, that story was well-read. People on Facebook were happy. Like, it seemed to be a celebration of sorts on social media among Tiger fans that, hey, one of our own, a Memphian, which, you know, as you know, a lot of fans have been clamoring right. for having more of their own guys on the team, is coming back, right? So that was a storyline. When he played, that was also a storyline. And when the season kind of went off the rails and he provided this light and seemed to be at times really one of the lone players playing with that sort of effort and intensity, that was also a narrative that was talked about, right, yeah. among the fan base and stuff.
I think it's clearly newsworthy.
Yep.
I also think it's not in the end it's one story out of 100 stories, and as fans think about what the state of the program, it's another little data point, right?
Right.
And to me, it's useful because it's one view of the program. It's not like they just didn't get a scholarship. It's they didn't get a call, or because I don't care if he got a scholarship, honestly. Like, it's not my whatever. Penny gives. So anyway, it was certainly a remarkable story, and in a sort of a interesting off season. Where are we now? What are we waiting for? What's next?
Yeah, I mean, there's three scholarship spots still open.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you've got the Baraka Okoji shoulder surgery news right. that came out earlier this week. They say he'll be ready by start of the season, but you know, you would hope if you're Memphis that he's in game shape. You don't know, right?
Right.
So you've got the rest of the roster to figure out in terms of, hey, do you want to add a wing, which they've been looking at. Several options there. Do you want to add another point guard with the Baraka thing going on? And then you've got the few vacancies on the coaching staff still. So there are some things to tie up and shore up, no doubt.
So where are you on, in terms of available wings, where are you on this Kaluma thing? People seem to be fighting. Everyone seems to be fighting all the time. Everyone's fighting. Everyone should go to yoga or something.
Just meditation, man.
A little zen would be good. Is there a likelihood of adding another wing, and is there a likelihood that it could be Arthur Kaluma, or is there no chance it could be Arthur Kaluma? Where are we?
I mean, likelihood of adding another wing, I'd say yes, even though the portal has dried up. You know, there's not many options, and the few options that are out there, they're asking for a boatload of money because right. they know that, you know, right. there's a demand.
Right.
Or there's guys who need waivers of various kinds, a medical hardship waiver, eligibility waiver, whatever it may be. They need some kind of clearance from NCAA. So it's getting tough, but there are options still out there. And as far as the Kaluma thing, from my understanding, from what I was told, there was legs to this. There was mutual interest and conversations between the two parties, being Memphis and Kaluma. But that has since cooled down. Obviously, there was, I think it was a John Rothstein report that said he was going to go to SMU to visit this week right. and kind of check that situation out. So I guess we'll see how that plays out. But
do you think this team, as currently constituted, contemplating the schedule, rigorous non-conference schedule, do you think this is a tournament team, a borderline tournament team, a reach tournament team? How do you look at this team as currently constituted?
I think it's a tournament team. You got certainly the scoring there, right, between Haggerty and Hunter, and you've got guys who kind of fall more cleanly into roles than they did last year. You had more talent last year, but
if everything goes right, what's it look like? If everything goes right, what's this team look like?
Without any additions or with what we
without
have
without any
here?
Big additions?
Man, that's tough to say. So
you've got Haggerty's got to be the star, right?
He's your bucket getter.
Star. Uh-huh. You got bigs, right? I mean, it's thin.
Dane Danger, Nicholas right. Jordan, Musa Cisse, and Tyreek Smith. Yeah, you got bigs. It's not the like you said the deepest rotation of bigs, but you
but
got
that's
four
not always
bigs.
A bad thing when it comes with Penny.
No, it's not.
You're
going
to have to play people till they drop, and so that's not a bad thing in terms of the staff. who's gone, who's come, and who's undecided?
Yeah, I've tried to keep up. I mean, obviously, I'm trying to run through the list myself in my head. Yeah.
Over at the Daily Memphian, we have a portal tracker. What we really need also is a staff tracker. Is a staff tracker.
No, that'd be nice.
So
that'd be nice. Obviously, Andy Borman is gone. Assistant coach. He had one of the three assistant spots there. Garrett Kelly, basketball director of basketball operations. He's gone. Darby Rich, strength coach, who came back for a year after leaving previously, is also now gone. I'm trying to run through the list in my head. I think that may be it. I'm probably leaving
Mike
somebody
Davis
out here.
Is here.
Mike Davis is here, as has been reported and confirmed. And there are talks to add other pieces, but there's an assistant coach vacancy still.
Andre, obviously. We don't know what role Andre was going to play on this team?
I do not know what role Andre is going to play on this team, no.
He hasn't been
at the facility. You know, I saw him last week when I went there to go see DeAndre work out with Penny. So,
well, it's interesting. People care so deeply about this program, and it feels a little precarious right now. And so I think the hope is that they figure this out. What has been it hasn't been a tumultuous offseason, but it's been a little
Interesting offseason.
It's been a little disconcerting. I mean, the David Jones thing was really tough, I think. And then, honestly, it was the no comment about the David Jones thing that added a level of mystery to it and concern. Like, what the hell is happening?
Well, I think it's the no comment about anything. Like,
it's a no comment
about anything. Even the Tigers on Tour thing where other coaches are speaking. I'm not blaming Penny. I know he has his mother's health.
And they're very clearly, is he just distracted by his mom's health, which is totally understandable.
Reasonable, right?
Yeah, totally understandable. Yeah. Put yourself in that situation. What'd you do last night?
I went to the Shelby County Pro-Am. It was night two. So obviously,
opening night
was Tuesday. It is at Crosstown High.
And what
first
was the
time
scene?
At that location.
What was the scene? Were many people there?
I think Tuesday was a little bit more popping, if you will, in terms of attendance and excitement. Because the players on the court, you know, the three Lawsons played. And then you had Jeremiah Martin the second game, kind of lighting it up. Yesterday, there were obviously talented guys on the court, but there were no former Tigers. So I think that kind of dimmed the excitement or allure there.
Right. Do you think, by the way, it is possible for a Memphis high school kid to grow up, and this is in the you know, looking at the Cooper thing, but also A-Lo before him or whatever, to grow up, to go to Memphis and to have a dream experience for 3 or 4 years? Is that possible anymore?
Like, absolutely.
John asked the question, who's the last one?
I saw.
Who is the last one? You wouldn't say that of A-Lo, right? Because he had a great career here.
Yeah.
But it was so, I don't think he would say it with a magic carpet ride.
No.
Right?
Not with the heavy deal of scrutiny he faced from the fans and let's face it, media and other stuff.
Right. So is it?
Man, that's tough, right? That's a tough question.
It's sad if not.
It's not one of the Lawsons.
No, right? I mean, the Lawsons all came and went.
Yeah. Alex Lomax is a tough kind of
Malco, no.
Tale. Malco that ended.
No, yeah, no.
Ended not the way he ended, wanted, right?
Ended badly. So, and some of it's just difficult anyway, because now if you're a promising player, you might not even stay in Memphis for high school. You might go somewhere else, and then you might be less apt to come to Memphis. And then there's the portal, and then there's the NIL money, and then there's, like, the world has broadened. I don't think people just go up as much thinking, I just need to be a Tiger. Because once upon a time, like, you had the tradition. You had the tradition of Elliott, and you had the tradition of Penny, and you had, before that, the tradition of Larry Finch, I want to be the next him. That was it.
Exactly.
I want to be the next that guy. And it's someone who, when they were 12, they saw that Memphis player playing at the University of Memphis and said, I want to be that next guy. If you're 12 now, if you're in the next, who are you looking at who's playing for Memphis and say, I want to do that?
They're all one-year guys, and they're not from here, right?
Yeah,
like,
right.
It's tough. It's
you
tough.
Don't have the person who, whatever, went to Treadwell or whatever, and then ended up, you know, you just want to follow in that path. That's not there like it once was. And I think, and there's something that is too bad about all of that. Parth, thanks very much for joining us. I appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Fun as always.
We're going to take a break. Back in a minute. It's the Jeff Dawkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station, on the go, on the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app. Follow 92.9 FM ESPN. Rewind any show, any segment now. 92.9 FM ESPN.
When people have a craving to explore new and traditional Asian cuisines, they head to P.F. Chang's, where scratch-made dishes come from the 2,000-year-old tradition of wok cooking. P.F. Chang's wanted to explore new possibilities for their website. They turned to AmericanEagle.com. AmericanEagle.com re-architected P.F. Chang's website, integrating multiple third-party systems to create a unified digital experience. The results? Improved page speed and performance, personalized content based on users' location, intuitive online ordering, an increase in organic search visibility, and a 40% increase in new users. For scratch-made Asian cuisine, visit your local P.F. Chang's or go to pfchangs.com for website design, development, digital marketing, and hosting that produce efficiency, revenue, and results. Visit AmericanEagle.com. P.F. Chang's and AmericanEagle.com. Another example of the best businesses in the world. Turning to the best in the business for websites, go to AmericanEagle.com or call 877-WEB-NOW-1. That's 877-WEB-NOW-1.
At Genesis Memphis Covington Pike, it's time to define luxury in a new way. At every turn, you'll find audacious design, state-of-the-art technology, and exceptional hospitality. We are dedicated to crafting the world's best vehicles, matched by an extraordinary sales-to-service experience for our owners. Prepare to be noticed in the 2023 Genesis G70. This sporty sedan is a force to be seen. We'd love you to explore the 2023 Genesis GV70 with a class-leading 300-horsepower engine or the available 375-horsepower twin-turbo V6 for terrains from concrete jungles to mountain roads. It's a new beginning for a new generation. Genesis Memphis Covington Pike, 1870 Covington Pike, or visit us online at memphisgenesis.com. Estimated horsepower based on premium fuel ratings. Use of regular fuel will result in reduced horsepower. See dealer for complete details. Dealer stock only.
Did you know that feeling sluggish or weighed down could be a sign that your digestive system isn't working at its best? Taking Metamucil every day can help. Metamucil fiber powders help promote your daily digestive health using a plant-based fiber called psyllium. The gelling action of this special fiber traps and removes waste so you can feel lighter and more energetic. Metamucil, promoting digestive health for a better you. Learn more at Metamucil.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Life insurance. Why are you putting it off? Can't afford it? Too much hassle? Think you don't need it? There's lots of excuses for putting off life insurance. But if you weren't there, who would pay the mortgage and other bills? With Ethos, you could be covered in 10 minutes and boom, family protected. Ethos, fast and easy online term life insurance. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Some policies as low as a dollar a day. Answer a few health questions and get your free quote at getethos.com. That's getethos.com.
I love sports. I love them so much, I never want them to stop. But as the playoffs wind down, we get fewer games. And the sports aren't sportsing like I want them to. But FanDuel lets me keep the sports going whenever I want. All I have to do is open up the app and dream up bets anytime I'm in the mood. And this summer, FanDuel is hooking up all customers with a booster bonus daily. That's right. There's something for everyone every day, all summer long. So head over to FanDuel.com/GabeK. That's G-A-B-E-K. Again, G-A-B-E-K. And start making the most out of your summer. FanDuel is an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball and 92.9 ESPN. You must be 21 plus and present in Tennessee. Opt-in required. Wager requirements apply. Bonuses awarded as non-withdrawable bonus bets or profit boost tokens. Restrictions apply, including bonus expiration. See terms and conditions at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. And if you have a gambling problem, do not hesitate. Make sure that you call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
Are you looking for homeowners insurance, auto insurance, life insurance, business insurance? If so, this is Gary Parrish reminding you to get in touch with Elizabeth Rook Insurance. That's Elizabeth Rook Insurance, a second-generation local agency that's been owned and operated since 1981. It is the home of the Erie Rate Lock. What's the Erie Rate Lock? It's a way to lock in your auto rates indefinitely. So please get in touch with Elizabeth Rook Insurance. 867-SAVE, 867-7283, on the web, rookinsurance.com.
Join the free smoothie party at Tropical Smoothie Cafe on June 21st for National Smoothie Day. We're treating our Tropic Rewards members to a free smoothie with bowl or food purchase. Order an app online or pop by the cafe for a little sip and chill. Three cheers to our Tropic fam. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, everybody. It's Howie at Robert Irwin Jewelers. The Summer of 1,000 Engagement Sale is going on right now. Save up to 40% off. And with every purchase of $24.95 or more, you're going to get a summer sunny getaway for two. Robert Irwin Jewelers or online at rijewelers.com. See a store for complete details.
Jeff's guests appear on the Frame Corner phone lines. Frame Corner, with expert custom and do-it-yourself framing since 1975 on Park Avenue in East Memphis. Now, back to the Jeff Calkins Show, live from the Genesis Memphis Covington Pike Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
It's summer. It is summer. No better place to shop for your summer swimwear, for heaven's sakes, shop, or your all-day shorts that has these fantastic all-day, then O'Call. Head on into O'Call. You walk on in there. The clothes are beautiful. The people are just incredibly helpful. When I was in there, when I bought a suit last year there, and I imagine they still have them. You pour water on the suit, and a pattern comes out like little starfish or whatever else on the suit. I'm easily amused. But here's the point. They just have, if you want Peter Millar, if you want Faraday, whatever it is, if you want a new sport coat for a summer wedding, go in and see our friends at Oak Hall. It is one of the places that I am. We're lucky to have it in Memphis, honestly. It is a legendary store, and the way they are legendary is not by calling themselves legendary. It's by having beautiful, fabulous clothes and by being incredibly welcoming, helpful, even to someone who looks like a schlep like me. So for your summer shopping, go in and see our friends at O'Call. All right. Well, I thought I'd start the show with, that story. The Joe Cooper thing went up yesterday after our show yesterday, so we hadn't talked about it. And immediately a debate breaks out. Parts being negative, whatever else. And I just thought how does a story like that come to pass? Like, what? How did it come to pass? And so I thought I'd let you hear from Parth himself. It's not like, in the end, it's a walk-on who didn't get a scholarship who was grumpy. And that is all true. And so you can look at the story through that prism. It's also true that it's a walk-on who was, probably deserved to know if he was going to be invited back or not. And I guess this is my question with it, Jeffrey. Is it just like you can find discontented players at every program who most actually won't rip a program because they know it doesn't serve them well to rip the program. But you can find discontented players at any program. So is this just an example of that? Or is this an example? Is Joe Cooper the kid who says the emperor has no clothes? He finally said out loud what actually a lot of people are saying. Penny's not communicative. Look at his coaching staff. They don't know whether they're coming or going. That it's actually indicative of broader issues. I think that to me is the question. Is it just one guy who's unhappy, or is it indicative of broader issues? People can make up their own minds.
I think it's probably closer to A. I mean, I think the reality is it's probably not black and white. It's probably right. Not A or B. It's probably some combination.
I think it's a little bit A. It's a little bit B.
It's a combination of both. I guess the biggest problem that I have is, did Joe not have an exit interview?
It didn't feel like he was ever told.
I mean, my understanding is every player at some point has an exit interview.
You would maybe.
I mean, I don't know. I guess I really struggle because I think the story feels like there's some missing things from Joe's side of the story. This is not from Parth.
Right.
In the end, I do also give Joe credit. He put his name on it.
Well, that's his name on it. He's a Memphis kid and he put his name on it.
And to me, I respect that much more than I do the, anonymous or just, hey, I'm just going to rip someone.
Or even liking, quote, if you just like some post criticizing, Penny or something like that.
I totally respect putting your name on it.
It's interesting. Now that you mention it, I'd like to know if maybe he did not get a exit interview.
Because to me, it seems to me the most likely scenario, and again, this is generalizing, but it seems he really wanted to come back.
That's clearly true.
And
but did Penny tell him, or did he ask, can I come back, and did he not get an answer?
Correct.
Because if he asked, whether it's either in an exit interview or Rodney asking or him texting Penny, which he said he did and called Penny, he deserves an answer.
Right, because to me it seems like the signs were obviously there that...
He could have put two and two together.
Correct.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I mean, I think that is kind of the fundamental question. It's like, does he deserve... Like, I mean, at a certain point, he's on your team. You got to at least say something.
He doesn't deserve a scholarship. He doesn't deserve it at all. But he does deserve an answer. He does deserve an answer. If he asked, he deserves an answer.
Correct.
Joe, we love you, but we're not going to have a scholarship for you. How long does that take?
Right.
And I guess, to me, you hear things that lots of people are held in limbo over there. And so that's where I wonder if it's a little bit of Category B in addition to Category A. There's clearly a lot of Category A in this story. Guy who's grumpy because he didn't get a scholarship, whatever. But anyway, there you go. You heard it from Parth. You can make up your own minds about it. Before we talk to Jason Smith, we got Jason Smith coming up. Then we got Chris Harrington. Then we have other matters that we wanted to talk about. Do you have the clip from last night? So last night, of course, there was the baseball game in Birmingham. Absolutely great scene. They some of the broadcast was in black and white. It was, and they honored Willie Mays there back in Rickwood Field, where Negro League players once played. Sort of a great event. In the midst of it, A-Rod asked Reggie Jackson, who had played in Birmingham, how great, you know, so a generic question about how great is it to be back here in Birmingham, blah, blah, blah. And he got this, here's how that went.
Reggie, the baton has been passed for over a century here. We've been talking earlier about if it wasn't for the Willie Mays, the Jackie Robinson, the Reggie Jacksons, the three of us wouldn't have an opportunity to play. How emotional is it for you to come back to a play that you played with one of the greatest teams around?
Alex, when people ask me a question like that, it's like coming back here is not easy. The racism that I played here, when I played here, the difficulty of going through different places where we traveled. Fortunately, I had a manager and I had players on the team that helped me get through it. But I wouldn't wish it on anybody. People said to me today, I spoke and they said, you think you're a better person. You think you won when you played here and conquered. I said, you know, I would never want to do it again. I walked into restaurants and they would point at me and said, the can't eat here. I would go to a hotel and they say, the can't stay here. We went to Charlie Finley's country club for a welcome home dinner and they pointed me out with the N-word. He can't come in here. Finley marched the whole team out. Finally, they let me in there. He said, we're going to go to the diner and eat hamburgers. We'll go where we're wanted. Fortunately, I had a manager, Johnny McNamara, that if I couldn't eat in the place, nobody would eat. We'd get food to travel. If I couldn't stay in a hotel, they'd drive to the next hotel and find a place where I could stay. Had it not been for Raleigh Fingers, Johnny McNamara, Dave Duncan, Joe and Sharon Rudy, I slept on their couch 3-4 nights a week for about a month and a half. Finally, they were threatened that they would burn our apartment complex down unless I got out. I wouldn't wish it on anyone. The year I came here, Bull Connor was the sheriff the year before. And they took minor league baseball out of here because in 1963, the Klan murdered 4 black girls, children, in 11, 12, 14 years old at a church here and never got indicted. It was, they were from the Klan. Life magazine did a story on them like they were being honored. I wouldn't wish it on anyone. At the same time, had it not been for my white friends, had it not been for a white manager and Rudy Fingers and Duncan and Lee Myers, I would have never made it. I was too physically violent. I was ready to physically fight some. I'd have got killed here because I'd have beat someone's ass, and you'd have saw me in an oak tree somewhere.
Reggie, I can't even imagine. It's awful you had to go through that, but, you know, appreciate you sharing the rawness and the honesty of it with our audience. I mean, really, it's...
We love you, Reg.
Yeah. Thank you.
Quick history lesson right there.
That's a great history lesson. Reggie Jackson telling us all about it, preaching. Wow.
So there you go. I don't think A-Rod expected that answer when he asked, oh, how great it is to come back for, you know, you played. And but Reggie just told the honest truth of his experience here. Not here, but in Birmingham. And I guess what partly struck me is this wasn't ancient history. You know, this wasn't ancient. There's Reggie Jackson talking about it. Reggie Jackson living and breathing in 2024, talking about things he experienced in his lifetime. And so when people like to think, I can't believe you're playing the race card. I don't know, is Reggie playing the race? Like,
it was his lived experience.
To not acknowledge, A, the history of this country and how recently this has been a reality in this country in terms of looking at where we are now. People just want to wave a wand and pretend that, oh, no, it's just, you know, it's all, we're done. We're all done. Why are you people poor? You know, well, I'll tell you why. Because in our lifetimes, look at the treatment. Look at the treatment. So it was emotional hearing that, and it was obviously emotional for him to, and that is his lived experience. And it wasn't that long ago. We're going to take a break. We're going to talk to Jason Smith when we return. We never did get a chance to ask Chris Harrington about the theoretical Marcus Smart Houston thing. We'll talk to him about that as well. It is the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
It's the Gabe Kuhn Show.
Coach Houston Nutt.
Now it's the quick coach guy that yelled at me a little bit too much today. I'm going to put my name in the portal.
Right.
I'm not playing. I'm not on first or second team. I was highly recruited. I'm going to put my name in the portal. And right in the middle of the season, you know, all these, I just, for the life of me, that, and then I worry about the locker room when you have a few guys that make big, big money in the portal. I mean, I'm sorry, in the NIL, and I don't even know why they call it NIL.
Not really what it is.
Yeah, exactly. So I just see so many just problems, and just like you mentioned, you know, your place, Memphis. Thank goodness for a guy like Fred Smith that he's got to go ante up and you know, give you some collected money.
92.9 FM ESPN's Gabe Kuhn Show.
You know, I like that it's not getting me for another subscription.
No subscription necessary. It's free.
92.9 is like my sports place, bro.
92.9 FM ESPN.
I was talking to the folks at Leaders the other day. Leaders Credit Union, of course, place that I've been talking about, does all the things a bank does, mortgages, car loans, checking accounts, debit cards. Only they exist purely for the benefit of their members, and so they've got better technology, they got better rates. Every penny they earn is poured right back into helping their customers, their members. But a couple things came up during this meeting. One, they just broke ground on a new Arlington location, so that's exciting. Also, a reminder, if you sign up at Leaders, or when you sign up at Leaders, mention ESPN, and you get the $25 membership fee waived. To learn more, go to leaderscu.com, leaderscu.com/ESPN.
La 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 la.
Oops. Ever had your singing lessons cut short by icy water?
Oh, I'm sorry, honey.
Say goodbye to those cold notes with Navien tankless water heaters. With Navien, you'll hit all the right notes without the surprise chill. So keep singing and let Navien keep the hot water flowing. And get ready for the encore when you get your utility bill.
La, 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 la.
Navien tankless water heaters. Visit tanklessmadesimple.com.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals. Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
Our lives aren't like they used to be. They're busier. Early morning Zooms, grabbing coffee to make that in-office meeting, getting to your kid's soccer game on time. Life is different, and so is advertising. To reach any audience, you need your message out there in all media, broadcast to streaming, on screens, and right to the ears of your customers. And that's what we do at Odyssey. Let's build a media campaign that targets the customers you know and want to reach more of, right here in our community. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It's the Kia Summer Sticker Sales Event, and it's going strong at Gossett Kia on the Pike. Are you ready to ride in your new Kia with 41 MPG? PG Highway, we got it. 2024 Kia Forte LXS, $199 a month, $34.99 due at signing. How about 282 miles of EPA estimated range with new 2023 Kia EV6 Wind, $249 a month, and 2024 Kia Telluride LX, $357 a month, both $39.99 due at signing, all 24 month lease. And get peace of mind with Kia's 10 year 100,000 mile powertrain limited warranty. Call Bobby J, he's ready to put you in your new Kia today. Gossett Kia 1900 Covington Pike. Online, KiaCovingtonPike.com.
If you want it, we got it at Gossett Motor Cars.
Includes all rebates and incentives. Lease includes PF695, 650 acquisition fee, EV6, P561-0964, MSRP50,200, Telluride RG510-849, MSRP38305, Forte LXS RE78169, MSRP21820. Must finance through Hyundai. Excludes tax, title, and license. See dealer for complete details. Offer valid through 6/30/2024 with approved credit, dealer stock only.
Jeff's guests appear on the Frame Corner phone lines. Frame Corner, with expert custom and do-it-yourself framing since 1975 on Park Avenue in East Memphis. Now, back to the Jeff Calkins Show, live from the Genesis Memphis Covington Pike Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by Jason Smith. Jason and John every single day from 11 till 2. It is must-listen radio. Jason joins me now. Did you happen to listen to the Reggie Jackson thing last night, or did you hear it just now, Jason?
I did not get a chance to listen to the Reggie Jackson thing.
He just was asked about, how does it feel to be back in Birmingham? And he just said it's really hard coming back to Birmingham. And he told about all the racism he experienced in Birmingham. And I guess to me it was a reminder that we like to think all this stuff was so long ago. You know, there's a guy, Reggie Jackson, telling us about his lived experience in Birmingham. Does your dad, by the way, ever talk about that, of things like that in terms of like the way he was? I don't know. Was he treated badly in his life because of his race?
I mean, I think as a, you know, just coming up in the times that my dad did, you know, he's 74, born in, you know, 1950.
Right.
Sure. I mean, he was,
of course,
you know, one of the first blacks to go to the college that he attended, Westminster, in the little town of Fulton, Missouri, that he lived in, and is one of the guys that have been, his name is up on a plaque there at Westminster, and one day I will take his grandson to see it. And so when you are among the first, of course you're going to face adversity. You're going to face hate. You're going to face feelings of you shouldn't be here, this isn't yours. And I will say that, though, that my dad, who obviously married a white woman, was married to her for 22 years, had two biracial kids with a white woman, I want to tell you that he probably shielded us, Jeff, my brother and I, from a lot of what he faced. There wasn't a lot of, man, let me tell you about this time.
Right.
Because I think he was trying to, you know, in terms of what you put, you know, I was listening to you in terms of, you know, what you did and didn't do with your kids. I think my dad's decision was, I'm going to protect them from that and try to tell them that this is a world where they can do anything. Yeah, sure, they'll face adversity, but I'm not going to tell them the ugly. I want them to believe that this is a beautiful world where, an interracial couple can raise two biracial kids and they can go on and live a great, you know, not a productive life, but one where they'll find love. You know, they won't have to make decisions based on race. I know all of that sounds, a little flowery, but that's really how they raised us. And so, you know, and there was also some protection, too, because, listen, these were the... I always put it this way. These were the Oprah Winfrey talk show days of what's going to happen. And I think I've discussed this with you, Jeff, a little bit, of what's going to happen with biracial kids right? And who are they going to identify with? These little brown, are they going to be white? Are they going to be, are they going to identify, how are they going to identify with who are they? Are they white? Are they black? There were all these questions back then that have certainly been answered now because you've seen, you know, this rise of interracial folks in this country. But there were all these questions and these taboos back then that I think they were also trying to protect us from and tell us that, guys, your friends don't have to be based on race. And so there was a lot of protection. There was a lot of love, and there wasn't so much of here's the ugly I faced, although we recognize, obviously, that you know, just in being an interracial couple in the 70s, you know, they got crazy.
You all were a curiosity. Like, yeah, I mean,
absolutely.
A phenomenon
absolutely
or something. So, amazing.
You know, but the one thing, I'll tell you this, the one thing about Midtown Memphis back when we moved here in the early 80s, brother, you had some of everything. And I mean, right behind us were the Vietnamese folks in Midtown, you know, right there in Midtown. And we had, you know, to the other side of us, we had the black neighborhood. And if you went across Poplar to the other side of Stonewall, you had these beautiful, rich, well-to-do, high middle income, lower. You had these, you know, huge houses that go out to Parkway. So my point is, in Midtown Memphis, man, it was a melting pot that was perfect for us, you know, back in those early 80s, where we were sort of accepted in a way, man, that I think is part of why we still appreciate this city so much today.
It's I had no idea your dad's name was on a plaque as one of the, you know, one of the first.
Westminster College in Fulton, Missouri. Yep.
That's fantastic. It's amazing. As long as I've known you, you still learn things about people.
Political science major he started. Yep, political science.
All right. Yep. Jason and John, every single day from 11 until 2. Your co-host alerts me to the fact that you're going to be talking a little bit about the reaction that he got when he asked on social media if a kid can grow up playing basketball in Memphis, go to the University of Memphis, and have a positive experience. Is that era over? I haven't examined what the responses were, but he said people seemed triggered even by the question. I'll let you guys mostly answer it. I presume on your show, from 11 to 2. It is interesting how long it has been, though. Have you figured out the last, you'd say, player who really had the quintessential Memphis, who lived the Elliott Perry, Penny Hardaway, you know, I mean, those are extreme versions of it, experience?
Well, it's hard to say that. I mean, it was perfect, and I doubt it was perfect for Elliott Perry and those guys too. I mean, Andre Turner, we talked about it. He was ridiculed those first years for the way he turned the ball over. But it's a different world now. We know that with social media, it's much different in terms of the scrutiny. Joe talked about it, how it affected him, Joe Jackson, his first 2 years. You know, how he was listening to whatever it was, social media and everything else, and it really tore him up inside. And so that experience of that took away from his experience at Memphis, to the point that at one point, you know, a couple of points, Joe was thinking about transfer. I go back to say that, I mean, starting in that era and probably before, we've been scrutinizing these guys so much to a point that I don't think any of them, even especially the ones that we've held up, Joe, Alex, Lomax, haven't felt some scrutiny that they've either pushed back on, or in Alex Lomax's case, his father came out and spoke about how this was terrible, the way Memphis fans were cutting his kid up in terms of his play. I will say this, I think Alex Lomax would probably still tell you now how much his time playing at Memphis, and probably, yes, for Penny Hardaway, but having that Memphis jersey on, how much it meant to him. I mean, I think that probably the on-court experience is the win over Tennessee. Like, if you're just talking about on-court, Alex Lomax probably had a good he would probably tell you, I had a good experience playing, right? But what he would point out is, man, it was. I mean, if he was being honest with you, he'd probably tell you. And Alex has never done that. He's never pushed back on the fans or been one of those guys that says, I can't believe you're saying this. Through all of it, you know, he took the high road. But I imagine if you pinned him down and asked him, he'd say, yeah, that took away from it a little bit. So I'm not sure anybody had a perfect experience, especially, again, the ones with such high expectations, the ones we held up. But I would tell you probably on the basketball court, Alex Lomax probably the last in terms of, enjoyed the basketball side of it. It was rocky. But
he got them back to the tournament. They got a tournament win.
No question. I mean, huge. There were moments, and again, I would include that Tennessee win, you know, up there where he's popping the Memphis. I will never forget the way he popped the Memphis, because to me it was so important, because we'd had the discussion, especially with Tubby being on board, do Memphis kids still care about playing for Memphis basketball? Does it still mean something to the kids that are growing up around here? We were asking those questions then. I think, you know, watching Alex Lomax and how much that Memphis win at Tennessee Mentum, popping was just symbolic of, oh, yeah, it still matters to some. And we know it did for Tyler Harris, even though he was a guy who did not finish his career here playing for Memphis, and he's talked about it. And I think so much so, and maybe that brings us sort of the Joe Cooper thing and what we were talking about yesterday with you, Jeff, is that, you know, Tyler respected Memphis and the brand of Memphis basketball so much that even there at that last year when he had, you know, has to go down to South Florida after having a great walk-on year here, you didn't see him publicly criticizing Penny or the program, probably feeling like, number one, Jeff, you point out, right, you don't want it to your next school look like you're a bad apple when you get, you know, you're essentially getting pushed out. But also, number two, because you recognize you don't want to hurt the brand either, whether it's for the next guy or the next guy. Obviously, Joe felt so, you know, such a way about, you know, his experience that he felt like it was. Look, it may come off as an axe to grind, but I'm going to tell people how I feel now. And so, yeah, it feels like there are fewer and fewer who are having, you know, those great experiences at Memphis. That's not to say there can't still be some. It's not to say Penny isn't recruiting any Memphis kids, that he's just done with Memphis because he obviously tried with Curtis Givens III and Trey Richmond and missed. But, yeah, it is interesting, man, because you look at that Memphis roster and there is nothing, frankly, Memphis about it right now. And so, yeah, I mean, I don't know who the next one will be, but if you ask the question, yeah, I'd probably say Lomax just because he's on the court. But if you're talking about, you know, just a beautiful experience the entire time, wasn't criticized, it just went well, you're going to have to go, you know, much further back.
Antonio Burks, you know, maybe.
Yeah, the way he finished, the way he was beloved, I don't, you know, I guess there wasn't a ton of criticism of Burks. His story was such a, you know, was one that you loved, was one that, you know, he was the streets, you know, scholarship guy back then, and so... I suppose you could go back to those Cal years and pick those guys, but it is interesting though that
Joe, like Joe's is interesting. Joe's story, obviously, he nearly transferred a couple times, and we look at it now through the prism of, honestly, for me, the tragedy with Joe is since, right? Like you feel like, I mean, there's different times he's emerged and has said that he thought he'd get more support from the community, and yet people in the community say they've done everything they can with Joe. Like a lot of the tragedy around Joe seems like where it's gone since, although it was difficult during that time. And then you've guys got like Chris Crawford had a good career here, and Adonis, I guess it was disappointing in some ways, but it was. Cause
Chris Crawford is a good call.
Yeah. Well, is that 4 years? Did he play 4 years?
I played all 4 years here. You know, I probably didn't win to the degree, didn't get past that first weekend like they wanted to. But in terms of you know, what he contributed and everything else, and I don't recall Chris Crawford ever being seriously considering transfer or everything else. I mean, that's not a bad call there at all.
Yeah.
With Chris, you know, it still can be done, but we are certainly seeing fewer cases of it.
All right, Jason, thanks so much. I'll be listening. Appreciate it.
Have a great weekend, brother.
So two things. One is, we asked earlier, Jeffrey asked, did Joe Cooper get a exit interview? And Parth, was listening to us, and he said, no, he said he did not get an exit interview. So that's to answer one question. And then secondly, Parth has sent me, Penny, has evidently spoken about this on, TaylorMade Sports on a YouTube interview. And so we don't have time now because we got to take a break and get to Chris Harrington. We'll talk about the Grizzlies and the NBA, but we will revisit this and see what Penny had to say about all of it when we return. Before then, I will tell you that, hey, we got an NHL game tonight, Jeffrey. We got an NHL game.
Six.
We got big game six tonight. I do hope that goes seven, don't you?
We need something.
Well, the pressure that it's going to be on the Florida Panthers to not crumble, having been up 3-0, and then you've got Connor McDavid, the superstar of superstars, on the other side. And I think we need a game seven. And I know it may not mean a lot to you, but this has a potential to be a really fun series. I guess the point I was saying, though, is that the games are dwindling, ladies and gentlemen. There's not as much stuff to wager on. So over at FanDuel, they are making it continue to pop for you because FanDuel is hooking up all customers with a boost or a bonus daily during the summer. That's right. All summer long, whether you're a new customer or an existing customer, a boost or a bonus every single day. All you have to do, go to FanDuel.com/Calkins, C-A-L-K-I-N-S, C-A-L-K-I-N-S, and start making the most out of your summer. FanDuel is, of course, official sports betting partner of the sport with all the games right now, Major League Baseball. Must be 21 or older in present Tennessee. Opt-in required. Wager requirements do apply. Bonuses awarded as non-withdrawable bonus bets or profit boost tokens. Restrictions apply, including bonus expiration. See terms and conditions at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789. Back with Chris Harrington. Little Grizzlies talk. When we return, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Memphis is number one place for sports. This is WMFS-FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis, flagship home of the Memphis Grizzlies. 92.9 FM ESPN and Odyssey Sports Station.
Grab a free gym pass from your neighborhood gym today. Thanks to Shelby County Government's new Shelby Cares program. Local residents 16 and up can attend free beginner-friendly yoga, aerobics, or CrossFit classes at the neighborhood health club near you. Visit.